Friends by mail. Going bananas. Daniel loves the friend and always wants to try out the recipes. One night while his dad and older siblings were at church activities, he made chocolate-dipped bananas from the July 2012 issue with his mom, Daniel J., age 7, Illinois, USA.
Loving my dad. When I read Glad You're My Dad, February 2013, I felt really happy. My dad doesn't go to church with the rest of my family, like Mark. I still love going to church too, even though my dad doesn't go with my family. But I know he will someday. Naomi M., age 10, California, USA.
Excited for the friend. My stepmom says, Rosemary, will you please go check the mail? I do, and when I find that the Ensign, New Era, and friend are in the mailbox, I rush home, set the mail on the counter, grab the friend, and read it in my bedroom immediately. I love the friend, and I am so thankful to have it. Rosemary A., age 11, Arizona, USA.
Share the light. My light is but a little one, my light of faith and prayer. But lo, it glows like God's great sun, for it was lighted there. Shine on, shine on, shine on bright and clear. Shine on, now the day is here. How many different ways can you find to share the light of the gospel? Here are some examples. Fun and friendship, kindness, families, courage, temples, smiles, the friend, the Book of Mormon, preparing to be a missionary. Example, end of Share the Light.
Follow the Prophet, Dare to Stand Alone by President Thomas S. Monson. I served in the United States Navy near the end of World War II. Navy boot camp was not an easy experience for me or for anyone who endured it. When Sunday rolled around after the first week, we received welcome news from the chief petty officer. Standing at attention on the drill ground in a brisk California breeze, we heard this command, "Today everybody goes to church, everybody, that is, except for me. I am going to relax." Then he shouted, "All of you Catholics, you meet in Camp Decatur, and don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march!" A rather large group moved out. Then he barked out his next command, "Those of you who are Jewish, you meet in Camp Henry, and don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march!" A smaller group marched out. Then he said, "The rest of you Protestants, you meet in the theaters at Camp Farragut, and don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march!" Instantly there flashed through my mind the thought, "Monson, you're not a Catholic, you're not a Jew, you're not a Protestant, you are a Mormon, so you just stand here." I felt completely alone. Then the chief petty officer looked in my direction and asked, "And just what do you guys call yourselves?" I had not realized that anyone was standing beside me or behind me. Almost in unison, each of us replied, "Mormons." Joy filled my heart as I turned around and saw a handful of other sailors. The chief petty officer thought for a moment and finally said, "Well, you guys go find somewhere to meet, and don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march!" As we marched away, I thought of the words of a rhyme I had learned in primary years before. Dare to be a Mormon. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. How grateful I am that I made the decision long ago to remain strong and true, always prepared and ready to defend my religion. Note, adapted from an October 2011 General Conference address. Go to lds.org/friend to watch a video of President Monson's experience. End of the article, Dare to Stand Alone by President Thomas S. Monson.
How we read the friend. We like pretending to be missionaries. Kyle, Matthew, Seth, and Jed O., ages 5, 8, 9 months, and 3, Virginia, USA.
Dear friends, each month as we plan the friend, we think a lot about you. We also think about many other children, those who don't know about the gospel. This month's friend is all about making the world better and brighter by sharing the light of the gospel. Look for a candle on each special story or activity about sharing the light. Then, color a candle on the Share the Light coloring page, page 3. Keep sharing, the friend. Was there a letter or a story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of the section, Friends by Mail.
Kitchen Crafts, Pumpkin Fun. A recipe for pumpkin pancakes. Be sure to get an adult's help when you cook. Ingredient list. 2 cups dry pancake mix. 1.5 cups of water. 3/4 cup canned pumpkin, and 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon. Number 1. Spray a frying pan with nonstick cooking spray. Preheat it on the stove on medium. Number 2. Combine the pancake mix and water in a large bowl. Add pumpkin and cinnamon and stir well. If the batter is too thick, add a little water. If the batter is too thin, add a little pancake mix. Number 3. Pour a scoop, about 1/4 cup, of batter into the hot frying pan. When the pancake bubbles on top, it's time to flip it over. Cook until both sides are golden brown. Number 4. Serve with bananas, applesauce, or another favorite topping, and enjoy. Tip: if you don't have dry pancake mix, you can make your own. Stir together these ingredients in place of the pancake mix in the recipe. 1.5 cups of flour, 1/4 cup of powdered milk, 2 tablespoons of sugar, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Paper pumpkin. You will need orange and green construction paper, 1 cardboard paper towel or toilet paper roll, clear tape, scissors, and a pencil. Number 1. Have an adult help you cut the cardboard roll as tall as you'd like your pumpkin to be. The shorter the roll, the wider the pumpkin. Cover the roll with a strip of orange paper and tape it in place. Number 2. Cut the orange paper into long strips that are about 1 inch or 2.5 centimeters wide. You will need 8 to 10 strips. Number 3. Tape one end of the strips around the inside of one end of the roll. Number 4. Tape the other end of the strips inside the other end of the roll. Number 5. Cut a leaf out of green paper and tape it into the hole at the top of the pumpkin. Wrap a strip of green paper around a pencil and hold it for 20 seconds or until it holds a curl. Tape it next to the leaf. You could make an extra paper pumpkin and give it to a friend. End of the section, Kitchen Crafts.
Bright Idea Poster. In this month's Bright Idea Poster, we see a gathering of children posting a neighborhood library, sharing the Friend magazine, as well as other gospel literature, with the following caption above. This is Missionary Fun. Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. End of Bright Idea Poster.
Following Jesus. Be loyal. Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John chapter 14, verse 18. Jesus was a good friend and family member. Even when things were hard for him, he remembered to take care of the people he loved. Before he died, he told one of his disciples to take care of his mother. See John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. He also taught his disciples about the Holy Ghost and promised them peace. He said, Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John chapter 14, verse 27. This month's challenges. Challenge 1. Look for chances to show others that you love them, even if you're busy or grumpy. Challenge 2. When your friends and family members make a mistake, say kind things instead of making them feel bad. Challenge 3. If you see someone being mean to someone else, stick up for the person being picked on.
ask yourself, how can I help my school or neighborhood become a better place today? End of bulletin board.
Prayers on the Pitcher's Mound by Jane Hales and Mindy Ray Friedman, based on a true story. When another team offered a prayer at the game, what could the Aces give in return? We will be the Lord's missionaries to bring the world His truth. Children's Songbook, page 172. Marshall was so excited to be in Nebraska. His baseball team, the Aces, had traveled from Utah to play in a tournament. So far, it had been an awesome adventure. "We're going to win," Marshall said to his friend Mason as they got ready for the championship game. The Aces were in the lead. All they had to do to win the tournament was beat the Mustangs from Mississippi. If they lost, they would have to play a second game against the Mustangs to decide the champion. Marshall and his teammates played the best they could, but the Aces lost the game. Marshall was disappointed. He was slowly walking back to the dugout when he heard the Mustangs coach call, "Hey, boys, come over here." "I wonder what he wants," Marshall complained as he headed to the center of the field. He didn't feel like being a good sport. As boys from both teams gathered on the pitcher's mound, the Mustangs coach congratulated them. "That was a really good game, and you all played really well. We're excited to play you again tonight. We hope that game will be good, too. Now, Tyler," he said to a boy on his team, "will you please offer a prayer for us?" Marshall was surprised. He did not expect to be praying in the middle of a baseball field. He forgot about losing as he bowed his head and listened. He left feeling a lot better. After the game, Marshall and his teammates went to visit the nearby Mormon Trail Center at historic winter quarters. As they walked around with their missionary guide, the boys told her about praying with the other team. Then suddenly Mason said, "Hey, I have an idea. If the Mustangs had enough courage to pray on the field, we should have enough courage to give them copies of the Book of Mormon." That sounded like a great idea to Marshall and the other Aces. They asked the missionaries if they could get 15 copies of the Book of Mormon to give to the Mustangs and their coaches. Before the game, all the Aces were excited about playing, but they were even more excited about sharing the gospel. "I hope they'll read it," Marshall said as he finished writing his testimony in the Book of Mormon. The Aces all played hard that night, but they lost again. Marshall didn't mind as much this time, though, because he was so excited to share his gift. After the game, both teams gathered to shake hands and give congratulations. But this time, the surprise was for the Mustangs. Marshall handed his book to one of the other boys. "I wanted you to have this. Thanks for playing and praying with us." "Thanks," the boy said. After the Aces passed out their books, the two teams bowed their heads for another prayer. Marshall was also silently thanking Heavenly Father for giving him the chance to be a missionary. End of the story, Prayers on the Pitcher's Mound, by Jane Hales and Mindy Ray Friedman.
Helping Violet, by Charlotte May Shepherd, based on a true story. How could Emma be nice when Violet was so mean? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Emma tightened her grip on her backpack as she walked into her new classroom. It was the first day of school. She had her favorite dress on, and Mom had packed a special treat with lunch, animal crackers. "Today is going to be great," Emma thought to herself, as long as... Emma stopped and stared across the classroom. There she was, Violet. Last year, Violet had hogged the monkey bars every recess. She had called Emma names. She had even stolen Emma's best friend. Violet saw Emma and stuck out her tongue. Emma glared back, gripping her backpack even harder. Violet had been mean all last year, and it seemed this year wouldn't be any different. "Welcome to a new year, class," Miss Caldwell said from the front of the room. "Let's assign seats." The desks were lined up in twos across the classroom. Miss Caldwell ran her finger down the roll, then she pointed at a pair of desks in the back. "Emma,
You will sit back there.
Emma sat down in one of the back desks. She hoped Lizelle would sit next to her, or Jamie, or Violet.
Emma's head jerked up. Did she hear that right?
Yes. Miss Caldwell was still pointing at the desk beside hers. You will be Emma's neighbor, Violet, she said.
Violet trudged toward Emma with a frown. Emma put her head on her desk and stared at the wall. It was going to be a long year.
At math time, Miss Caldwell wrote some problems on the board for the class to solve. You may work alone or with your neighbor, she said.
Emma quickly hunched over her paper, pretending like she was busy. The problems were pretty easy. She was just trying to avoid Violet. She hadn't looked at her once all morning.
Something poked her shoulder. It felt like a pencil. Emma ignored it. Another poke. Violet was poking her. Emma kept working stubbornly.
Violet's third poke was hard enough to hurt. Emma could feel herself boiling up inside. Was the whole year going to be like this? She thought about raising her hand to tell Miss Caldwell. Or maybe she'd just give Violet another glare. Then Emma heard a sniffle. Was someone crying?
The pencil poked her again. She looked over and saw Violet staring at her. Her pencil was in her hand, and there were tears in her eyes. Her paper was covered in eraser smudges. Violet twisted the pencil in her hands.
"Can you help me?" she asked quietly.
Emma looked at her for a minute, shocked. Violet wanted her to help? After how mean she had always been?
Emma turned back to her own paper. Violet could work alone. She didn't deserve Emma's help, even if she was her neighbor.
Emma silently faced forward. She could hear Violet crying softly next to her. The scriptures always said to love her neighbor, but Violet was different. Emma was only sitting next to her in class.
Emma went back to her own work. Then she stopped.
Maybe Violet wasn't different. Maybe when the scriptures said to love your neighbor, they meant everyone, even the mean ones, even if it was hard.
Emma sighed and slowly put her pencil down. She turned to Violet and tried her best to smile.
Can I help? She asked.
Violet nodded, wiping her tears away with her hand. Emma leaned over Violet's paper and started helping with the first problem. She already had a warm feeling inside her. She wondered if Violet liked animal crackers.
Sidebar: Following Jesus. Jesus wants us to love everyone. In the scriptures, he teaches us to love our family and friends and treat them kindly. Jesus also taught, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
This means that even when someone is not nice to you, you can follow Jesus by being kind and trying to be a friend.
End of the story, Helping Violet, by Charlotte May Shepherd.
Music will bring the world his truth. Words and music by Janice Cap Perry. Copyright 1983 by Janice Cap Perry. Copyright 2013 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved. This song may be copied for incidental, non-commercial church or home use. This notice must be included on each copy made.
We have been taught and
and of music will bring the world his truth. Words and Music by Janice Capp Perry.
Good Words, Bad Words by Heidi Pohlman, based on a true story. Can words drive the spirit away? I will use the names of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ reverently. I will not swear or use crude words. My gospel standards. Zach knew he wasn't supposed to use that word, but so many boys at school said it that he had started using it too. At first, he felt guilty, but after a while, it started to feel normal. He got so used to saying the word that one day he said it at home. "What was that?" his dad said after the word slipped out. Zach and Dad had been playing basketball in the driveway, but suddenly Dad was holding the ball and looking at Zach. "Oh, nothing, Dad," Zach said. "It's just something the kids at school say sometimes. It's not a big deal." Dad wasn't convinced. He shook his head and passed the ball to Zach. "But everyone says it," Zach said, "and other words are a lot worse." "I'm sure that's true," Dad said. "But just because a whole bunch of people say or do something, does that make it right?" "Well, no," Zach answered, looking down at the ball. "Here's a question that might help you decide if using that word is right," Dad said. "Do you feel like you have the Holy Ghost with you when you say it?" Zach's family often talked about living so they could have the Holy Ghost to help them. Zach knew that when he made good choices, the Holy Ghost would guide him, and he would feel good about his choices. But when he made bad choices, the Holy Ghost could not stay with him. "Not really," Zach said. "When I first said it, I felt guilty, but that feeling went away after a while." "That feeling was the Holy Ghost speaking to you," Dad said. "When we don't listen, we are tuning him out." "I'll try to do better," Zach said. "I think that's a good decision, buddy," Dad said as he took the ball and tossed it into the hoop. "What do you say we go inside for some ice cream? I'm beat." "Okay," Zach said as he scooped up the ball and took one last shot. The next day at school, Zach was on the basketball court with his friends. They were running down the court when Zach's friend Brian used a word Zach knew wasn't a good word. All the other boys laughed, but Zach didn't. "What's wrong?" Brian asked. "Nothing," Zach said as Brian passed the ball to him. He hoped Brian and the others wouldn't make fun of him. "I've just decided I'm not going to talk like that anymore." Then he shot the basketball right through the hoop. "What did you say?" Jeremy asked as he walked over. "I just think I've been talking in a way that isn't right," Zach said. "I know better. So I decided last night that I'm only going to use words that make me feel good inside." The boys looked at each other. "Okay, that's cool," Brian said. Then the bell rang to go inside. As they headed into class, Jeremy said to Zach, "You know, I've been thinking the same thing, but I didn't want to say anything. Thanks for bringing it up." Zach nodded and smiled. He felt good, and he knew that feeling was from the Holy Ghost. He was glad he'd had the courage to choose the right.
Sidebar. At school, I overheard two girls from my class talking and using the name of God in vain. I knew this is something we've been commanded not to do. I told them it makes Heavenly Father and Jesus sad if we use their names in an unkind way. The girls looked a little surprised, but I had a very warm feeling in my heart after I shared my testimony with them. After this, I never heard them say God's name in vain again. Elena C., age 6, Indiana, USA.
End of the story, Good Words, Bad Words, by Heidi Pohlman.
Friend to Friend, Inviting the Savior In by Elder O. Vincent Halleck of the 70. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. When I was a boy at Christmas time, my mother put out a picture of the Savior knocking at a door. We weren't members of the church yet, and I always asked myself, why is Jesus knocking on the door? Who is on the other side? A few years later, I discovered there was no handle on the outside of the door the Savior was knocking on. The person on the inside needed to open the door. Now I know who is on the other side of the door. We are. The Savior is knocking, and we all have to open the door and invite Him to come into our lives. When I was a teenager, I decided to invite the Savior into my life by being baptized and becoming a member of the church. My friends were good examples to me. So was my grandmother. She was a temple worker in the Los Angeles, California temple. She would leave our house at 4 a.m. to serve the Lord in the temple. Just 2 years after I was baptized, I decided I wanted to serve the Lord as a full-time missionary. On my mission, I helped many people learn about the Savior so that they could invite Him into their lives. Later, I served as a mission president in Samoa. I always asked new missionaries when they decided to serve a mission. Many said they were in primary when they decided to serve. Primary will help you prepare for missionary service. Learn as much as you can. Set a goal to serve a mission. Then you too will be able to help people invite the Savior into their lives. Being a missionary will change your life. It changed mine. End of the article, Friend to Friend, Inviting the Savior In, by Elder O. Vincent Halleck of the 70.
I can be a missionary now. You don't have to wear a name tag to be a missionary now, whether you are sharing a Book of Mormon or telling your friends an experience you had at church. You're being a missionary. Read about how others your age are sharing the gospel.
I have a friend who used to go to church, but now he doesn't. I go over almost every Saturday and knock on his door and ask if he wants to go to primary. He usually can't come, but I always feel the Holy Ghost when I ask. Every once in a while he does come, and I'm pretty excited because I like to see him at church. Joy B., age 7, Utah, USA.
In school, the fifth graders were going to have a talent show. I really wanted to do something, but I couldn't think of anything. Then, one day, I thought, why not do the primary song when I am baptized? I asked my friend Rachel if she would sing it with me, and I would play the piano. She said yes, and at the talent show, we got the biggest applause. Abigail P., age 10, with Rachel M., age 11, Oregon, USA.
I was saving up for a toy I really wanted. One of the Faith in God activities suggested that I start a savings account to save for my mission. I took my money to the bank and started my mission savings account. I will start saving for my toy again while adding to my missionary fund. I'm excited to go on a mission. Michael O., age 8, Washington, USA.
One day when I was eating my lunch with my friend Elena, she asked me what the letters CTR stood for on my ring. I told her they stood for choosing the right. The ring helps me to remember to choose the right. I told her after lunch I felt the Holy Ghost because I was a missionary. Alexis R., age 9, Arizona, USA.
I am trying to be like Jesus by inviting my friend Bryson to church and reading the Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenants stories. Isaac M., age 6, Illinois, USA.
A primary presentee gave each of us a scripture bag with a set of scriptures inside. Since I already have my own set, I asked my mom if I could give the Book of Mormon to my best friend, who is an LDS. I feel good when I read the scriptures, and I want her to feel good too. Olivia B., age 6, Ontario, Canada.
I had just turned 8, and it was getting close to my baptism date. I asked my mom if I could invite my second grade teacher to my baptism. My mom said, of course. I wrote my teacher an invitation and gave it to her. She said she would love to come, but had a family commitment on the same day. Even though she wasn't there for my baptism, I felt happy that I had invited her. Maybe it would make her curious about my beliefs. Paige G., age 9, Texas, USA.
Last week, our family talked about the gospel and the Book of Mormon with the technician who is at our house to make a repair. Before he left, I gave him a church DVD to take home and watch with his family. He seemed happy to learn more about the church. The spirit was very strong. I like being a missionary. Amanda M., age 5, Arizona, USA.
When I was 8, I invited a friend in my class at school to a Cub Scout activity. He is still coming now that we're in Boy Scouts. He has been to church a few times now, too. When I invited him, I didn't know that his grandparents are members of the church and in our ward. They had been praying a lot that he would be able to have some connection to the church, and my invitation came as an answer to their prayer. Michael M., age 12, California, USA.
When I pay my tithing, I donate to the General Missionary Fund. I feel good donating to help the missionaries. It helps them go all over the world on their missions. I am going to be a missionary someday. Damon B., age 5, Utah, USA. Other contributors. Dallin M., age 6, Washington, USA. End of I Can Be a Missionary Now.
Family MTC by David Dixon, based on a true story. A mission was still 8 years away, but Jerem wanted to get ready now. I hope they call me on a mission when I have grown a foot or two. Children's Songbook, page 169. Dear Journal, Jerem wrote as he sat at the kitchen table, I'm getting really excited about going on a mission. Did you know I can now go when I turn 18? That's only 8 years away. I can't wait. Jerem kept writing about how much he looked forward to his mission. His younger sister, Taryn, was also writing in her journal. Kelsey, Ben, and Alyssa drew pictures in their journals instead. They were still too young to write. I used to be kind of nervous about the idea of leaving home to go on a mission, Jerem wrote, but now I know better. A mission is going to be great. I wonder where I'll go. He kept writing about his future mission. Every Sunday, his whole family wrote in their journals for 15 minutes as part of Family MTC, their family's own missionary training center. They'd already done their 15 minutes of personal scripture study. Jerem knew that was important too, even if it wasn't always easy. Sometimes the scriptures confused him, but he kept doing his very best. And Mom and Dad could always answer questions when he got really stuck. Journal time, though, was always one of his favorite activities. He especially liked when they shared journal entries with each other. Okay, Dad said, time's up. Ready for class time? Everybody cheered. Class time was fun. They each picked favorite articles from the friend to teach the rest of the family. Jerem chose a baseball story he found. He loved baseball, after all. And his younger brother, Ben, couldn't wait to tell about a boy who tried building the biggest block tower in the universe. Everybody had something to share. The 15 minutes zoomed by with favorite stories. That meant only one thing was left. It's time for family devotional, Mom said. Jerem grinned. Family devotional usually meant watching church videos on the computer. The whole family loved those videos. They sometimes couldn't decide which videos to watch for the 15 minutes. There were so many to choose from. Can we watch the one about the scorpion again? Jerem asked before they even made it to the computer. Please? The video about the scorpion showed how Elder Patrick Kieran of the 70 learned to obey his parents and avoid dangerous things. We just watched that last week, Dad said with a laugh. I know, but it's awesome. I want to watch The Coat, Kelsey said. In no time at all, it seemed Family MTC was over for another week. And yes, they'd gotten to watch Jerem's favorite video again. So awesome, Jerem wrote really fast in his journal. Then it was time to get ready for church. Jerem grabbed his scriptures and headed for the door. He remembered a couple months ago when they started Family MTC. At the time, he didn't really know what to think of it. Would it feel like one more hour of church? Sometimes 3 hours felt like a long time already. But he was surprised by how much he loved Family MTC. Going on a mission was one of his big goals in life. He knew what he had to do to be ready. Learning as a family made it that much more fun. Besides, a If it meant he got to watch the scorpion video a few more times along the way, well, that was just fine by Jerem. Sidebar. Start now to prepare yourself for the glorious service which is ahead of you as a missionary of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elder L. Tom Perry of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. End of the story, Family MTC.
Bringing primary home, I will share the gospel with all of God's children. Have you ever eaten something that was so good that you wanted to share it? The prophet Lehi once dreamed that he was eating a piece of delicious fruit. It tasted so good that it filled his soul with exceedingly great joy. 1 Nephi chapter 8, verse 12. Lehi wanted his family to taste that delicious fruit too. The fruit in Lehi's dream is like Heavenly Father's love. Lehi wanted his family to feel Heavenly Father's love. He wanted to share the gospel with them because he knew it would make them happy. Children are often very good at sharing the gospel with others. 8-year-old Maria saw the missionaries on the streets of Ecuador. She asked them if they would teach her the gospel. The missionaries came to Maria's home to teach her family. Maria was the first in her family to be baptized. She was very happy when her whole family eventually joined the church, too. 9-year-old Eric was so excited about the primary sacrament meeting presentation that he invited his neighbors to come. They did. Both of these children shared something precious with people they love. As you share the gospel, your testimony will grow. Like Lehi, you will feel exceedingly great joy. The following are pass-along cards. Fear not, for I am with thee. Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. Blessed are the peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. When thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. Alma chapter 37, verse 37. You can share the gospel by sharing a pass-along card. Just glue the cards onto heavy paper. Then cut the cards out and write your own message on the back. Song and Scripture. We'll Bring the World His Truth, Children's Songbook, pages 172 to 73. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let's talk. You could have each member of the family draw a picture of his or her favorite fruit. Then on the back of the drawing, each person could write how the gospel blesses his or her life. You could then talk together about ways you could share the gospel with friends and neighbors. You can find more teaching ideas on missionary work at lessonhelps.lds.org. End of the article, Bringing Primary Home. I will share the gospel with all of God's children.
Bulletin board. If you turn to pages 20 and 21, you'll meet Camille from New York City. Did you know that a nickname for New York City is the Big Apple? And guess what? There's a temple right in the middle of it. The Manhattan New York Temple is near other famous buildings downtown, such as an opera house and a music school. The temple takes up 4 floors, and the other floors of the building are mostly used for church meetings and offices. That means that some people in New York go to church downstairs from the temple each Sunday. Missionary stationery. Do you have a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, or grandparent serving a mission? Or maybe someone from your ward or stake is on a mission right now. They would love to get a letter from you. The next time you write a letter, try decorating the edges of your paper with pictures and designs to make special stationery. Here are some symbols to trace to make a fun border or color ones of your own. What's the weather like right now where you live? In countries in the Northern Hemisphere like Canada, the weather is getting colder. But in countries in the Southern Hemisphere like Australia, the weather is warming up. Whether it feels like spring or autumn outside, you can brighten someone's day by making this sunshine sun sign. What you need: a paper plate, yellow construction paper, markers of different colors, glue, or tape. What to do? 1. Color the plate yellow to look like the center of the sun. 2. Cut the yellow construction paper into pointed strips. On each strip, write something you love about the person you're giving the sun sign to. 3. Glue or tape the strips around the outside of the paper plate so they look like sunbeams. 4. Give your sun sign to someone you love.
For Little Friends, Jesus Blesses the Little Children by Jan Pinborough, Church Magazines. Many people gathered around Jesus. They wanted to hear him tell stories. They wanted to hear him teach about heaven. When people were sick, Jesus healed them. He healed people who could not see. He healed people who could not hear. One day, some people brought their little children to see Jesus. They wanted him to give their children a blessing. Jesus' disciples told the people not to bother Jesus. They thought he was too busy. Jesus was not too busy. He told the disciples to let the children come to him. He said that the kingdom of heaven belongs to people who are like little children. Jesus loves all children. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, or where you live. Jesus loves you. End of the story, Jesus Blesses the Little Children by Jan Pinborough. End of the section for Little Friends. Monsters in the Closet by Annie Beer, based on a true story. Fear not, let your hearts be comforted. Doctrine and Covenants, section 98, verse 1. Abby loved her house, but not the coat closet. She was afraid a monster would jump out of it. Abby always ran by it as fast as she could. "Why do we even have a closet, Mommy?" Abby asked one day. "I don't like being afraid." "Sometimes we're afraid of what we can't see," Mommy said. "You can't see what's behind the door. Maybe that's what scares you." "I always think there might be monsters," Abby said. "I promise there are no monsters, but you could say a prayer to Heavenly Father and ask him to help you not feel scared," Mommy said. "Okay," Abby said. The next day, Abby was playing in her room. Mommy called her to come eat. Abby jumped up. Dinner smelled really good. She started down the hall. Then she saw the coat closet waiting at the end. Abby's tummy felt tight. She thought about what might be hiding behind the closet door. She wanted to run. Then she thought about what Mommy had said. Abby stopped walking. She folded her arms. "Please help me to not be so afraid," Abby prayed. Abby took 2 slow steps. She didn't feel afraid anymore. She felt warm and safe. She felt like she did when Mommy gave her a hug. This time, Abby didn't run past the closet. She stopped right in front of it. She reached out. She touched the handle. Her tummy got tight for a few seconds, but then she remembered her happy feeling. She turned the knob and pulled the door open. Abby laughed. "Hey, there aren't any monsters in here, just a bunch of coats." She folded her arms again. She bowed her head. "Heavenly Father, thank you for helping me not be afraid." Abby smiled and closed the closet door. She was hungry. End of the story, Monsters in the Closet by Annie Beer.
Show and Tell. I like going to church with my family and learning about Jesus Christ. At home, I like reading and learning scripture stories, singing hymns, and playing games at family home evening. The gospel blesses my family and makes me feel happy. I have already given a Book of Mormon to 3 school teachers and to my best friend, Miguel. My favorite primary song is "We'll Bring the World His Truth." Martin P., age 6, Portugal.
My parents have taught me the gospel and have been good examples to me since I was little. I learned to read the scripture stories for children, and now I love the Book of Mormon. I read it every day alone and with my family.
Ammon is my favorite person in the Book of Mormon. He was a great missionary, which is what I want to be when I'm older. Esteban M., age 8, Columbia.
When Letitia C., age 6, Brazil, was 3 years old, the Curitiba, Brazil temple was completed. She loved going to the temple and went there every day of the last week of the open house. She still loves to visit the temple and walk through the beautiful gardens. Letitia also loves to draw and swim.
One day during my school choir practice, I accidentally embarrassed a boy. He sang a note by himself and went out of tune. People started laughing, and I laughed too. Afterward, I felt really bad, so I asked my mom for help. She told me I should tell him I was sorry. I handwrote an apology letter and handed it to him during recess. About a day or so later, when I was walking down the hallway with my friends, the boy stuck his head out of his classroom and yelled, "I forgive you. I'm glad I had the courage to make the right choice." Courtney L., age 11, Texas, USA.
Marin P., age 9, Idaho, USA, likes to read and write. She enjoys reading the Friend magazine and learning about the Book of Mormon. Her favorite Book of Mormon story is When Nephi Builds a Boat.
In art class, we shaped clay into cups. Then we fired them and painted the cups and turned some artwork into placemats. After the cups were done, our teacher had a tea ceremony and he served tea. Even though the rest of the class had tea, I didn't have even one tiny drip. The best feeling of all was obeying the Lord. Rebecca L., age 7, Colorado, USA.
Kimberly, Sean, Paul, and Patrick F., ages 11, 8, and 3, and 1, Idaho, USA, like to learn, sing, and play together. They like bouncing on the trampoline and swimming. They just finished reading the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and are now reading the Doctrine and Covenants. They also have an older brother who is serving a mission in the Marshall Islands.
I'll leave it to him. Heavenly Father is my friend. He will love and help me to the end. Sometimes I fail to do what's right. I argue and complain and leave his sight. Then he picks me up and puts me back on the path to fix that crack. In my character, Christ is in charge. I'll leave it to him, 'cause his love is large. Reese, age 10, Utah, USA. Other contributors. N. Thai Linda, age 8, Cambodia. CJS, age 10, Utah, USA. Reverend E., age 7, Utah, USA. Pasha Z., age 9, Ukraine. Grace B., age 10, Idaho, USA. Emma T., age 9, Virginia, USA. Davin V., age 9, Idaho, USA. Would you like to send something to show and tell? Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of show and tell.
The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. Mom stands in the hallway holding out the Friend magazine. Here's the new Friend maga. Matt and Mandy zoom by. Zine, Mom finishes saying. Matt and Mandy are lying on the floor looking at the Friend. Matt says, "Hey, I'll bet my friend Franco would love this magazine. I could give it to him when we're finished reading it." Mandy replies, "I think Audrey would love it too. I want to give it to her." Matt and Mandy both call for their mom. "Mom!" Mom replies, "Relax, kids. I'll buy another copy. In the meantime, find a fair way to decide who gets this one." Matt thinks to himself and says to Mandy, "I guess the question is, who wants it more? I want it so much that I would be willing to..." Mandy interrupts, "Let me paint your fingernails." Matt responds, "Ew!" Matt counters, "Do you want it badly enough that you would wear my stinky old sneakers to school for a day?" Mandy replies, "I'm afraid they'd set off the fire alarm." At school the next day, Mandy sees her friend Audrey. She holds out the Friend magazine and says, "Hey, Audrey, here's a copy of my favorite magazine. I thought you might like it." Now we get a glance of Mandy wearing Matt's stinky shoes. Audrey replies, "Thanks, Mandy. What happened to the cute shoes you usually wear?" End of The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy.
On the Trail, Waiting in Winter Quarters by Jennifer Maddy. A new city. After the Prophet Joseph Smith was killed, Nauvoo, Illinois became a dangerous place. The saints fled their homes to find a safer place to live. In February 1846, the first group of saints started their trek westward, but bad weather and sickness slowed them down. By the time they had crossed Iowa, it was too late in the year to make it over the Rocky Mountains before winter. So church leaders chose a place where the saints could stay for the winter. They named it Winter Quarters. A display inside the Mormon Trail Center in Winter Quarters recreates a camp on the Iowa Trail where William Clayton wrote the hymn, "Come, Come, Ye Saints." Hymns, number 30. Working together, some people built homes out of logs or sod. Others lived in tents and caves. The saints tried to be happy during the long, cold winter. They helped each other. They went to concerts and sang and danced. They built a flour mill, a town hall, and a basket-making factory. Moving on. The time the saints spent in winter quarters was difficult. Many people died, but the pioneers had faith that the Lord would bless them and help them make it to Zion. When spring finally came, the first group of pioneers left winter quarters to journey to the Salt Lake Valley. Today, you can see the beautiful Winter Quarters, Nebraska temple and visit the Mormon Trail Center in Winter Quarters to learn more about the pioneers. At the Mormon Trail Center, you can see the kinds of supplies the saints took on their journey west. Church leaders told them to take flour, spices, rice, beans, and cows for milk. Some of the saints built log cabins to live in while they were in winter quarters. End of On the Trail, Waiting in Winter Quarters by Jennifer Maddy.
Special Witness. How Does Jesus Christ Speak to Prophets? By Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. He may send a messenger or appear in his own person. He may speak by his own voice or by the voice of the Holy Ghost. He may speak to his servants individually, or he may speak to them as they counsel together. Note from The Doctrine of Christ, Ensign, May 2012, pages 86 to 90. End of Special Witness.
Brand New Deacon by Jane McBride Choate, based on a true story. Passing the sacrament is a big responsibility. What if Benji messed up? And also, all they who receive this priesthood receive me, saith the Lord. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 35. Benji stood in front of the mirror, straightening his tie. His white shirt and gray pants fit perfectly. His hair was combed. He definitely looked ready to be ordained a deacon. So why did he feel so nervous? Benji grabbed his scriptures and left the room. He tried not to think about how different things would be at church today. And then there was the new priesthood duty that worried him whenever he thought about it, passing the sacrament. What if he made a mistake his first time next week? He tried to forget that, too, as he left the house. Sacrament meeting went the same as always, but afterward, Benji walked with his family to Bishop Salazar's office. This was definitely different. Normally, he'd be in primary opening exercises right now. Benji sat down as Dad, the bishop, the young men president, and the bishopric counselors laid their hands on his head. Dad gave him the Aaronic priesthood. During the blessing, the butterflies in Benji's stomach disappeared. He felt calm and happy. Benji stood and shook hands with everybody. Then he hugged Mom and his brother Jay and his little sister Mirasol. Afterward, he went to Sunday school. Even though the new classes weren't the same as in primary, they still felt familiar. The lesson was on prayer. He'd had plenty of prayer lessons before in primary. Benji breathed a sigh of relief. Maybe being a deacon wouldn't be so hard. "It will be great," Jay told Benji after church. "I'll bless the sacrament, and you can pass it." All the butterflies rushed back. "Yeah, great," he said quietly. Passing the sacrament was what Benji was most worried about. Later that night, Benji found Dad reading on the couch. "What if I miss someone and they don't get the sacrament?" he asked. "What if I trip?" He could see it clear as day in his mind, the tray clattering to the floor and water cups flying everywhere. Dad squeezed Benji's shoulder. "I remember the first time I passed the sacrament. I was probably more nervous than you are right now." Benji blinked in surprise. "You? You aren't afraid of anything." Dad laughed. "I've been scared plenty of times. Do you know what helped me get over being nervous?" Benji thought a moment. "Prayer?" Dad smiled. "That's right, prayer. And my father gave me a blessing. Would you like me to give you one?" Benji nodded quickly. "Yes, I'd like that a lot." The family gathered in the living room. Dad put his hands on Benji's head. As Dad spoke, Benji felt tears begin to form. "Remember," Dad said in the blessing, "you have received the priesthood through a sacred ordinance. Heavenly Father gave us the priesthood so that we can serve others. If you can do this with full purpose of heart, you will be blessed in this and in all things." All week, Benji prayed for help. The following Sunday, he joined the deacons at the front of the chapel. He listened closely as Jay said the blessing on the bread. Suddenly, he felt worried all over again. Could he really do this? It was so important. Then he remembered the promises from Dad's blessing. His worried feelings left as the Spirit settled over him. He picked up the tray and moved confidently to his assigned rows. Carefully, he handed the tray to a woman in the first row. She smiled at him. Benji smiled back, knowing that he was serving the Lord. Sidebar: if you deacons will magnify your calling, you will be instruments in God's hands even now. For the priesthood in the boy is just as powerful as the priesthood in the man when exercised in righteousness. Elder Tad R. Callister of the 70. End of Brand New Deacon by Jane McBride Choate. End of this section for older kids.
Guide to the Friend. Possible ideas for family home evening. Number 1. The theme of this issue is share the light. Talk with your family about ways you can share the light of the gospel with others every day, pages 2 through 3. 2. Read friends' hearts and invitations, pages 8 through 9, together as a family. You can heart attack a neighbor, just like the Activity Day girls did, by cutting out paper hearts and taping them to the door. Or you can make the paper pumpkins on page 6 instead, a pumpkin attack. 3. Read Good Words, Bad Words, pages 18 through 19, and talk about how you can show your love through the language you use. Number 4. Use the Bringing Primary Home lesson and activity to learn more about this month's primary theme, pages 28 through 29. Read Family MTC, pages 26 through 27. And talk about ways your family can help each other, prepare to serve a mission, or share the gospel in other ways. Topical index to this issue of the Friend. Church History, On the Trail, Waiting in Winter Quarters. Courage, Monsters in the Closet. Example, Follow the Prophet, Dare to Stand Alone by President Thomas S. Monson. Family, Friends Around the World, Camille from New York City, and Family MTC. Jesus Christ, Friend to Friend, Inviting the Savior In by Elder O. Vincent Halleck. For Little Friends, Jesus Blesses the Little Children. And Special Witness Elder D. Todd Christofferson. Kindness, Helping Violet. Fun Stuff Makes Someone Smile and Bulletin Board. Language, good words, bad words. Missionary work, follow the prophet, dare to stand alone. Bright idea poster. Friends, hearts, and invitations. Prayers on the pitcher's mound. Fun stuff, junior missionary. Friends around the world, Camille from New York City. I can be a missionary now. Family, MTC. Bringing primary home, I will share the gospel with all of God's children. Bulletin board and the new adventures of Matt and Mandy. Prayer. Prayers on the pitcher's mound. Bringing primary home, I will share the gospel with all of God's children. And monsters in the closet. Priesthood. For older kids, brand new deacon. Prophets. Special witness, Elder D. Todd Christofferson. Standards. Good words, bad words. Note, the friend can be found on the internet at lds.org/friend. To subscribe online, go to store.lds.org. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or photograph, please fill out a form and include it with your submission. Please also include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. Submissions will not be returned and may be edited for length and clarity. Children whose work is submitted should be at least 3 years old. Please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, room 2432, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email us at friend@ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. First and last name, age, state, province, country. I agree to the terms of the Friend Submission Agreement, lds.org/friend/parental consent, and grant permission for the Friend to publish my child's submission and photo in print or online. Signature of parent or legal guardian. Email of parent or legal guardian. End of The Guide to the Friend.
Prophet Portrait. Joseph Fielding Smith learned to work hard as a young man. His mother took care of women who were giving birth, and Joseph drove her carriage when she visited patients. As he grew, Joseph developed a love for the scriptures. He wrote many books about the doctrine of the church. As president of the church, he dedicated the Provo, Utah Temple. End of Prophet Portrait.